Honorable Members, the evening is a slight delay.
If it's him, it's him. I have to negotiate with.
I remind the honourable members that on yesterday's document we had reached page 61, but I've not yet dealt with it. Rights Chapter 8 and the Guinness Transfer of Records to National Archives, which we will start as soon as we complete the process of checking on what it was that you had authorized the State Advisor to do yesterday. Can we go over to you, Ms. Poisson?
Thank you, Chairperson. I will start off by taking members to page 3 of Working Document 25, as related to the preamble, where on the top of the page we have inserted the word that and deleted the word this, and we've also taken out in the second paragraph, mindful of the right of access to information, taken out the word 2, and then the the third paragraph, page 2, acknowledging that the right of access and taking out the word 2. Then, in the definition section itself, page 8, the definition of categorization of trade information, we took out the word for designating, that means for purposes of classifying such information, and then continued and in the theme of, and then we took out the word designated state of the state information.
Just hold on, honorable members, if they notice it, that's fine. I'm just saying we don't have to go back to it. We're going to, as we go if you have any comments, we just intervene. Otherwise, we'll accept that the alterations have been correctly captured. Over to you, Ms. Poisson.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 10 of the working document, definition of foreign state means any state other than the Republic of South Africa, and then you've deleted the rest of the definition. On page 11, after the bracket there is a semicolon.
In my copy, I don't see one.
No.
Okay, then I'll see them. If you say it there, then it's fine. Yes, proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 11, definition of hostile activity, paragraph C, took out the word state. On page 12, definition of information, we inserted the word mean any information contained in any document. Chairperson, and the next definition is on page 19, where we omitted the definition of security. Page 19. And the next definition would then be on page 20, where we deleted the definition of state operations. Chairperson, the next amendment appears on page 21, the proposal of subclause 4, with 5 section 5 of the Promotion of Access to Information Act in the event. In the event of a conflict between a provision of this Act and a provision of another Act of Parliament that regulates access to, and then inserts the words classified, that makes certain classified information, the provision of this Act prevails. Chairperson, the next proposal was made, or amendment was made on page 26, and it's captured there, clause 3, subclause 2b, which took out the words assigned, and we inserted made applicable. Chairperson, then the next amendment is reflected on page 28, We took on the heading National Information Security Standards and Departmental, and remained with the word Policy and Procedures. And then we took on the subheading National Standards and Procedures. Chairperson will note the rest of the clause 7 is then deleted because the instruction was to move that particular section to the regulation section. I don't know whether the chairperson wants us to deal with that now or when we get to the regulation section.
Regulation clause seem that we are here now, otherwise we're going to forget. That's page 19. Am I correct? But you want to go to the, are you going to the back of the regulation?
Yes, isn't that correct? It's page 92.
And can you tell us what you have done?
We've done there is we propose new subclauses to the regulation section on page 92 to include the minister must amend the time period within 12 months of the commencement of this act make regulations consistent with this act regarding A, broad categories and subcategories of state information that may be classified, downgraded and declassified and protected against destruction, alteration and loss, B, categories and subcategories of state information that may not be protected in terms of this act, and C, national information security standards and procedures for the categorization, classification, downgrading, and declassification of state information, which standards and procedures include but are not limited to Roman 1, organization and administration of state information security matters at all of the state, Roman 2, personnel security, including training, awareness, and security screening, Roman 3, information and communication technology security, Roman 4, physical security for the protection of state information in consultation with the Minister of Police, and Roman 5, continuity planning. Chairperson, then we've removed subclause 2 because we've inserted that particular clause as the Roman series that I've discussed just now because it relates to the National Information Security Standard, and it just emphasized that the Minister may make standards and procedures regarding that. Then new subclause 5, before the Minister makes regulations regarding any categories of state information in terms of subsection 4A, the Minister must, by notice in the Gazette, provide an opportunity for all of the state and other interested persons to submit comments in respect of the categorization in question, and B, may take into account any comments received as a result of the notice contemplated in paragraph A. New paragraph subclause 6, subsection 5 applies to any modification made to the categories of state information in terms of subsection 4. New subclause 7, no regulation made under subsection 4 may impede or prevent the National Archives or any other archive from preserving and managing public records in terms of the National Archives and Records Service of South Africa Act or any other applicable law or ordinance, and then there's just a change in the numbers of the existing regulation. So the previous subclause 4 becomes now 8 and subclause 5 becomes 9.
Now on page 92, 93, and 94.
there is a difference, I've indicated it in the document, by bracketing and bolding, and the difference was done, as I said, on page 93, where in the previous clause 7, sub clause 2 provided for national information security standards, and then that was included but not limited to. That are included under the national information security standards and procedures that we drafted in sub-clause 4C on page 92. So I've just moved it around so it makes better flow and better sense in respect of the regulation aspect. And where I've changed the prescribed by making it makes regulation, I've indicated that on page 93 in brackets and bold, as well as the subsequent changes or the consequential changes to the numbering. I've also indicated on the document in bold and in brackets.
But in respect of the wording, there's no change.
No change.
It's all the same, is that correct?
Correct.
I remember you know that. That movement have you got to say. First of all, I request the wording that is on page 29 and page 30 has now been moved to the regulations. That's the first thing. We were in agreement that must be done.
Yes.
Now the next thing is it correctly captured there?
It's correctly captured. Our objection remains to overbreak in respect of what is now subclause 4A. Broadcast treatment of gastric ways that may be classified as sick time. But it sits much better under regulation. And one wonders if the other little old the clause 8 can't be moved to the back of the
correct your objective. What one needs to just bear in mind, regulation 1, 54.1, has a time period of a reasonable period. And this one is 12 months, which I tend to think is correct because it comes from the Act and the state that it's important. But is there any problem with that inconsistency? Secondly, the offences clause, is there any potential for an offence to be in terms of the regulation 4? If you're going to 4, 5, 6, 7, because there is a penal provision is under 9, which only refers to subsection 1. Is there any potential for a requirement that should apply to the other subsections 4, 5, 6, 7?
Where were you reading
the penalty provision is under 9 on page 94. And it refers specifically to only regulations under sub 1, 54.1. We've now added 4, 5, 6, 7, and there might be the need for that offence provision to apply to those sections as well. I'm not sure.
Anything here that needs to be
Chairperson, on page 30, clause 8, to insert in subclause 1 the words where applicable, and to also insert the word alteration. Chairperson, I just want to draw the committee's attention. I have included or shopped around the words of it because it's used somewhere else in this manner, so it will read against alteration, destruction, and loss. So I've taken out loss and I've just put it in the back. And removed unlawful disclosure, so that is then deleted from subclause 1. Then in subclause 2, also the words where applicable. And then in subclause 3, the relevant section that prescribes the regulation.
Section 7-1 bracket should be under section 54.
portion of the previous chapter. So it will be in chapter 5, which is classification and declassification. And then on page 38, at the top there, new clause 14, sub clause 1 there, subject to section 3, any head of an organ of state. Chairperson, the next amendment is on page 44, right at the bottom. Proposed now new clause 16, and then to insert the words to be dealt with in the prescribed manner. That relates to the regulation that we defined in paragraph 8. The next proposal is on page 46, clause 18. Take us into the list there, the oral people who are relevant minister up until the end of paragraph C. Deleted from the proposed rule amendment, it was inserted to the classification review panel. That's the condition for classification set out in section 13 of 15 still applies, that will read, certifies to the satisfaction of the classification review panel that the condition for classification set out in section 13 of 15 still applies. It's actually section, not section. I apologize for the mistake there. Chairperson, the next proposal.
Classification set out in section 13 or 15. You say that should be section, not sections. Are you correct? So you are incorrect when you say sections.
Or in between, so section 13 or section 15.
You can get your tablet at the chemist or the supermarket. Did you know that one? Yes, you get your tablet at the supermarket and you can get it at the chemist.
Chapter 7 becomes chapter 6, and then we were also asked to look at the heading of the chapter. We've taken out the criteria of continuous classification of state information, and we propose the regular review, request for access to classified information, and status review.
Honourable Member, at the moment, it's just a heading. Any other proposal on the
Chairperson, on page 52, right at the bottom, the proposal is to insert a new chapter that deals only with the classifications review panel. So we've inserted chapter 7, and the heading there will be classifications review panel. And that only then deals with the classifications review panel and how it's dealt with in the Act. And that is captured is the reporting, and that comes from the committee proposal document to insert the two sub-clauses 3 and 4. The head of an organ of state must, in respect of the declassified information in possession of that organ of state, prepare a report for submission to the classification review panel. And sub-clause 4, the classification review panel must, on receipt of the report contemplated in subsection 3, prepare a report on all the declassified information for the financial year in question, and must include the report in its annual report referred to in subsection 1. And then the sub-clauses numbering changes on page 63 to 5 and 4 to 6. Thank you, Chairperson. Then, on the minutes, on page 60, appeal procedure calls now clause 32, to delete the first part of the subsection 1 and to insert any person who has refused access to information in terms of this Act may appeal, when we took out the word such decision, and then we may appeal to the relevant minister of the organ of state in question. Page 61, on the top there, new clause 33, we've inserted a sub-clause 1, just to make the necessary amendments for when we're inserting the sub-clause 2 there. Chairperson, we've got two proposals there that we think the committee can consider. The first one, and that is to provide for the aspect where you don't want the person to go through the internal appeal procedure when it's those aspects that are related to in section 23, those imminent danger aspects. So it will read, if a request is made for access to information and it is established that a request relates to state information contemplated in section 20, subclause 3, the requester is exempted from the provisions of section 30, subclause 32, subclause 1. And 32 subclause 1 provides for the appeal procedure to the relevant minister. Or alternatively, the second proposal will then be, notwithstanding subsection 1, a requester may apply directly to a court for appropriate relief without having exhausted the internal appeal procedure contemplated in section 32 of the Act.
Thank you.
adjusting the first one. I'm adjusting the second one. And by inserting the word after the leaf, a reference to section 23, then one can decide which is the better. Notwithstanding, it was then leaf, notwithstanding subsection 1, the requester may apply directly to the court for appropriate relief as contemplated in section 23. Because there might be another provision somewhere that might allow your court access. Directed to the court for appropriate relief as contemplated by
Yeah. Urgent. Now, there's still an issue of to me, it seems now that that's what you can do. You don't have to exhaust anything. You still want to say the others.
President Zuma is the one that does the extension of time periods to the court as they indicated that the time period should be extended to a disposal of 180 days. But I think the legislation is still going to be in the making. I don't see it acted. So, this is from prior to this.
So,
it's
going to be prior to 90 days. I think at the time that we dealt with this, instruction to the state of Israel was a pretty good time in the primary space.
I think I appear to have got it the wrong way around, because I mean that isn't in favor of the request study, and it is favoring the internal appeal of it.
No request or candidates.
Within 30 days.
The only other aspect I want to just bring to the attention of the committee is the proposal time. I don't think we have discussed that it was agreed to, and I just incorporated in green on page 96 of the working draft. And that relates to the subcourse 2 there, of the appeal section. Of the Defence Act. My recollection was that we had decided to delete that particular section. So I just highlighted it so that it should have brought to the attention of the staff.
Me too. I remember in the cover that was covered, and now we have to. I'm not sure the numbers are the same. It will be on page 62. That is where we left last night. Thank you.
There is one, I have seen one myself. Of course, we haven't finished it, we haven't seen it. It's much thinner now, it's much thicker. I'm sure very soon we're going to get a copy once we have one. So we have this taken away by the normal document, so that you can see the normal things there. And you'll have another document, a cleaned-up document. I am on page 21 of the members. We've asked for something which we have gone through some time. Page 62. The agent from today's document. When you finish your document, there will be a document with all those things that you
have. That's what I was reading. I understand you obviously need the new document, which will be the original draft, plus our addition and the deletion from the main draft. Then what the deletion is would be added in.
Can we go to page 63? Page 5, 64. 64 is deleted. 65 is deleted. Bottom of 65 is deleted. From the middle of 67. And then we go to the responsible agent. And then the agency, there's a statement and copy. Page 68. Again, we stop at offences now. That's an offence that you captured when there was a query and you went through the offences. There was a query, what about this fellow, the head of the organ of state that fails to comply? What do we do with him? Proposal that we should send him to jail for 2 years.
Mm.
and shape. You're saying, baby?
I know.
Thank you. amount of time.
That is quite a, I don't say that, but that's what it is.
but in place the status of Germany above that of importance of the future. Journalists mentioned the German version. Journalists could not depart from the fundamental principle that they are no better or worse than the ordinary. Journalists, and I thought it would be important to remind the committee and the listeners that this doesn't come from me or the African National Congress. It comes from a senior member of the African National Business Forum who is responsible specifically for media freedom. Jefferson, I want to further refer you to the esteemed Judge Jacob's comment in the Pacific, amongst other things. He makes the following observation, Jefferson. The public is entitled to know all, except that which cannot be revealed on account of important national security. And I take that Jefferson from Wendell Rainford's position to that. And Wendell Rainford will go on to refer to Section 46 of PIA. We have taken what is in Section 46 and incorporated it into the law. And so we have what is referred to as the public interest law that I have in the law. It's found in clause 20, part 2 of this treaty drafted. Jefferson, then we go on to provide processes whereby people can access information legally to avoid legal access. We've made it compulsory and faster to declassify and make available information that seeks to cover up corruption or abuse, etc. We believe that we've gone far enough to provide argue that requiring the media or anyone else to first follow lawsuits channel to establish the contention that the information should be declassified before publishing is an unjustified intrusion. Now, on the freedom of the discussion. Some people merely render the media subject to the rule of law. I refer to the public protected disclosure act, that's what I wanted to say more about that. Clause 47 is further strengthened by the fact that clause 51 provides that the person knowingly classifies their information according to what is contained in the law is more than sufficient. And in line with whatever is demanded of us, and
classified documents that they may just simply touch. In fact, our proposal is quite the opposite. The departure point of our proposal is that it is a criminal offense to disclose a classified document. But under five exceptional circumstances specified in our proposal, those exceptional circumstances would include, for example, when a classified document reveals an unlawful act or omission or incompetence or inefficiency or administrative error. Then, under those exceptional circumstances, it would, a classified document could then be published. Now, the point is, this is a defense, and one would have to accept that if the person in question goes wrong, they can still be prosecuted. Now, if you look at the submission by the Minister of the Immigration over the last 8 months, the key argument against, for example, the public create some kind of legal uncertainty and loophole, and then classified documents, the content of classified documents, will simply be published, and they will be carte blanche to publish the content of classified documents. Our proposal achieves exactly the opposite. It provides legal certainty under and specifies exceptional circumstances in which the content given that, I would urge the Honourable Rogers to reconsider the position and to consider our
Thank you, Chair. Just from our side, we are deeply disappointed. We put the proposal very narrowly crafted public interest test along the lines of the prior provision. For that very narrowly crafted public interest defense. We don't want to labor the point. We appreciate the explanations that Lana has given. One might just recall one aspect when Mr. Lowe appeared before us. We made an argument, and you might recall where I then referred him to the Films and Publications Amendment Bill Act, which in fact gives a specific exemption to printed media. It was in a caucus, and they went out. Had a caucus and they came back and they said they'd heard what Mr. Twice had said, and then they asked for an exemption. So, and it continued, the discussion then continued. So there was a definite scope for the application of an exemption. But I do think that we just need to bear in mind what you are saying is that the person that is in possession of such documentation, whether it's a journalist or a member of the public, does not get off scot-free. He will be charged. And in terms of our provision, the court will then strike the balance. The court will then strike the balance as to whether a defense should apply. And the balance that will then strike is the harm to national security as opposed to the public interest of disclosing that information in the narrowly crafted idea of an imminent danger to the environment or substantial contravention of the law. So, Chair, we've had lengthy discussions. We are deeply disappointed, but we've reached the stage where I think positions have been taken. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I think we are equally disappointed. That honourable member can ask us to let this for a criminal offense not to be a criminal offense. Theft not to be a criminal offense. I have never, I think I've requested this from Honorable Member Mayneke. As said, just count as one democracy where theft is allowed, where government, democratic government, you're saying, in a democracy. Just tell us a democracy that decriminalizes theft. You were saying, I think one member was making a literal example of what you were saying. If I go steal a loaf of bread and throw it to hungry people, wherever, whether it's in Thailand or again in Manningtech, then you are saying the court must say, you stole with a reason. There was a reasonable, yes, whether to feed the poor. You did not steal for your senseless or your selfish end. You were stealing to feed the poor. That's what you are saying we should do. That's a literal example. All we are saying is that theft cannot be justified in this country, in any democracy. How can you justify theft? We are saying our justice system is capable of weighing theft cases. You steal a loaf of bread, and I steal the whole ATM, you know, the court will determine who is dangerous between the two people. Now you are saying, no, let's hamstring the court and tell them how to justify theft. That is what is so disappointing to us. All we are saying is that people should be discouraged from stealing. That's what we're saying. I don't know what democracy is, a democracy that allows people to go randomly and steal. Especially when we're talking about vulnerable information, the one we're legislating on. I'm very, very much disappointed. So thank you very much.
Council member. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My apology for the late arrival. I was in great needles for dealing with the bill there as well. We started on this issue, and we are now close to the conclusion dealing with this issue, and I really don't want to repeat anything which has been said. We are in a process where one always hopes that one can hear one another, listen one another. The purpose of the thing is exactly to take over. Convincing minds, and one is to listen to one another with one another with open minds. And how does one do so? We need to find a communality, a starting point, that which makes us the same. And I think that one thing we have all in common here is our oath of office. We are here to serve the people of South Africa. So what we are doing here in classifying information is to serve the people of South Africa. We want information to be kept secret so that the interest of the people of South Africa may be served. I carry no brief for the media. This issue is not about the media. I'm not raising anything about the media. I'm talking about the people of South Africa. And it is for that reason that I was sort of departing from the formulation of the DA to have the crisp issue. When the public interest of the people of South Africa is stronger than the interest in classification, then that should be the disclosure should not be punished if it's a defect. When the interest of the people of South Africa outweighs the interest for classification, then there is a defense. Who is to tell the judge? We have all agreed and felt comfortable that we can show everything to the judge. In the provisions that we reached agreement on yesterday, the judge can take a look at what it is. Is the judge competent to determine which interest is more important? Yes, because all that this bill does, it creates criteria for interest, conditions, it's the way interest. So what we suggest, and I put it to you, and we hope that they can bridge this gap, because this has been, and it would be wonderful if we could all leave this room together. And it's a message that the world wants to hear from South Africa, that there's been unity and consensus on this bill. Anyone charged with an offense under this act should be entitled to raise as an exculpatory defense the disclosure of the relevant information serving a reason of public interest or importance which outweighs the reason for its classification. So here, if we call to a judge to ask himself how to assess the people of South Africa, and we as legislators are satisfied that with this language we serve the best interest of the people of South Africa, whatever it may be under the circumstances. And I want to just add one thing, but I should stop here. But this debate has been focused on the media, and correctly, Gerber Landers was referring to the submission the media made on the protection of public or personal information bill. Their submission was for protection of their own trade and industry. They needed information. They want to have an extension. I think that this issue is not about the media to cast improper. It can affect anyone. And it's a matter of whether the public interest under the specific circumstances is better served through secrecy or through public disclosure. We are asking the judge to do nothing more than apply the criteria set in Section 17 and look at the judgment. Thank you. I'm sorry, 15.
Shall be very brief. Just to respond to Mr. Sonti, the issue is about the constitutionality of the offence. You asked for a practical example. The case that I cited in my document was the Interior Superior Court, where a similar provision that was seeking to penalize.
penalized journal for disclosing information that was classified was shut down as being unconstitutional in breach of the freedom of expression provision of the Constitution. That is our concern. And we believe, we strongly believe, that there's a very strong possibility that if we don't have a narrowly crafted public interest defense as we suggested, we will sit again and as the first journalist or member of the public that is charged will go all the way to the Constitutional Court and stand a strong likelihood on the basis of that Canadian decision. The Canadian Constitution is very similar to our Constitution, which shut down that reflect and said it's unconstitutional. So we are saying there's a strong likelihood of that happening, and we could well sit and come back again. Have a good one. Sorry, Chair, that is the submission that I wanted to make. Thank you, Chair.
And when he speaks on his behalf, he always honestly says this is my issue. So this issue of taking Honorable Landers as an individual who is just moving on by himself, just to be corrected.
The MPs as an elite for the purposes of this argument. anybody anywhere must be in a position to reveal theft. And the Honourable Solicitor is right to call it theft. Theft and corruption are a big problem in our country. It is precisely the duty of any Democrat, as David Manier said, to reveal it, to go and reveal it to the police, to reveal it in public when that is the only way in which anything is going to be able to be done about it. Our concern also, sir, is theft. And the disclosure of information by members of the public, by members of parliament, by the media, as South Africans, because it is the case that in every media charter, it is an article of faith that media do not ask for any rights that any other South African does not have as well. But South Africans, all media, MPs, persons, must be in a position to disclose theft and corruption. And what are we doing? Writing a law which does not make it possible for them to do that thing. It's just a defense in court, sir. It doesn't exculpate. It's just a defense in court. If they got it wrong, they will still go to jail.
Intentionally and unlawfully.
and I'm not sure whether it's 15 years and 20 years when you take that. Page 80, honorable members. Yes, delete it.
Thank you.
Can we hear the honourable members, please? I recognize me hands. Can we hear the honourable company?
Susan, I want to this whole debate is getting out of hand. But just look at 48 in those details. If any person would provide the same information to another medical instructor that the form of public grace and then it continues, any person, that would also include the intelligence agent that is providing false information. So I mean, unless there's another definition for any person.
One reason is things that thousand times and then going to come on the thousand times. I'll take you back just for a second to 49. False or fabricated? Yeah, 49 on my document, the old 40. False or fabricated? So, you're sitting in just a position between two adjectives. So, fabricated means not to be false. Could be true. You could have a piece of information which is true and fabricated. Fabricated is contracted. Well, I'm just talking linguistically here. I think we would be safer. I think what we're looking at is the... I think to capture what we want, what we're concerned about is the falsehood. It's true or false. It's the true or false of the information. So if we say that it's false, and we eliminate the fabricated, we are where we want to be. Without allowing for the possibility of that, it's fabricated and it's not false.
I remember I tend to see there's a distinct difference between false and fabricated. When you fabricate something, you're actually acting with the knowledge that you're fabricating the thing. You cannot fabricate something by mistake. So I think can we move on with the members? Thank you.
in our that during our deliberations we proposed amendments, and we proposed that this clause be deleted. We have not, so far as I'm aware, had an opportunity to debate. I think the point here is the minister was pained to make the argument that what we need to do is to repeal this law, or to repeal the Protection of Information Act 1982 because of the apartheid law. And that was part of the justification for introducing the new book. But the fact that the matter is state security matter is in fact in the apartheid law. And I think that's a very important point to bear in mind. Now, Chair, for all the arguments that we have made it very clear that the effect of this clause would effectively prevent the disclosure of any information to do with the intelligence service. And I think the Honourable Mario and his team set it out quite well some weeks ago when he said the effect of this clause would even be to prevent the disclosure of Noah Sheikh or lunch meat. And is in fact a de facto higher, if you like, threshold of pacification than the effect of infection. The bottom line, Chair, is that the effect of this clause is to prevent the disclosure of any information relating to the intelligence service. The clause comes out of the 1982 Act and was originally introduced in 1969 by Martin. We do not think that this clause should be in this bill, and we knew that it would be deleted. Chair, the argument could not have been, I think, better put than by the Honourable Kian van der Merwe in 1981 when he said the following. In respect of the state security matter, he said, it is provided that any matter which is dealt with by the National Intelligence Service is automatically classified as one of those aspects which has to be regarded as confidential, and the disclosure of which constitutes an offence. However, this is obviously an aspect which gives that service carte blanche to commit all kinds of abuses. He went on to say that if information is in fact disclosed which indicates a corrupt situation within such a service, and today he was referring to the National Intelligence Service in 1981, it can only be in the national interest that this be made known at the earliest opportunity so that the public may take cognizance of it. What was true in 1982 during the debate on the Protection of Information Bill at that time is true today, and we should delete this clause.
I'm ready to support this clause and to do everything I can to lobby my colleagues who do not support to do so. If I can just have a three-word amendment to the definition of classified of security matter, which has been classified. If we fix it in at the definitional level, then one could leave with less pain with the actual prohibition and the sanction. So if we add the word,
then can I just inform the members that the definition of state security matter is on page 20.
If we can add the word which has been classified at the end of the definition of state security matter, which has been classified in terms of this act, which has been classified in terms be able to support it and be able to sleep at night at the same time.
He's saying that on page 20, the definition of state security matter should read, includes any matter which is dealt with by the agency or which relates to the functions of the agency or to the relationship existing between any person and the agency.
Toward the agency, comma, which is and which has been classified in terms of its act.
Agency, first agency or second agency?
No, there is a comma. So you refer to any matter, or if you want, you can put includes any matter, comma, which has been classified in terms of its act, comma, and which is dealt with by the agency. First, putting it up there is more elegant. Includes any matter, comma, which has been classified in terms of the act, comma, and which is dealt with by the agency.
Yeah. Thank you. That then takes us to the general provisions, reports. These are things which we have spent many days on trying to get the thing right so that the reporting that people are, that these entities are held responsible. So this is what we came up with, honorable members, reporting to parliament, committees and so forth. I take it that there's no further adjustments to what is on the rest of page 89. That takes us to page 90, honorable members. The top of page 90, the regulations is something which we have dealt with, and we dealt with it this morning again. That will take us on page 1991. page 95. The Puritan, that's not Poland, it should be Poland, because they brought the base in the way. And then the next clause, F, those both words, those square brackets, and the same with G, that's like the letter, and the word and, after H is deleted. Page 95, the bold 2 during the period contemplated, guidelines, right up until section 17. Got that?
Yes, that was deleted.
And then the message was deleted. Bracket 3 on the data, which is that takes effect. Go to page 96. Page 21. The section that is bolded there, I am under the standard of the order that that clause is going to be adjusted. Is that correct? Yes. Okay. It will be adjusted to the Thank you. So, honourable members, the honourable members. So, I would prefer that matter be dealt with between now and when we come back, honourable members. I'm not sure if we can spend the time that remains in that process now. And the question of why we don't have to do it here. But what I would like is that the document, I'm sure we would find it over on the criteria. There is an outstanding matter yesterday that is on page 21 today. The nominal man is objected, and there was a mash which we had flagged yesterday. There was an agreement, or we thought we had an agreement, and that was relating to the criteria that has to. We haven't sorted that one out. I'm saying that let's try and sort that thing out tonight, because I think the misunderstanding of the opinion, and that is something that I'm sure you can agree on. The other issue on the adjustment of one of the section 5 reference. Fire is the issue which I think we have to run with. And if you do then what I've said, clarified information, we should be able to talk about that. That then means that you can say to the secular advisor, things have not as been bargained enough. Bring out the thing where all the things have been taken out. Keep the other version where all the black things have, of one that we agreed will be deleted. And then we have also certain objections where certain parts have given note that they will not agree to that. There aren't many, so hopefully we will not have to be voting unnecessarily here. I think there aren't many of that. But what I want when we come back tomorrow, that we don't have to go into this thing because these things can be resolved now. And I know that I must be careful when I enter into agreements with the people. I would want to adjourn now, and those of you that want to stay can go for dinner, and if you don't come back, but what I would want is in that process while we adjourn, you have an agreement on this clause. Otherwise you can come back with the bill not complete. The alternative is you can go to lunch at 6, you can adjourn now, and come back after dinner just to sort out those two issues which you can leave on. And I hear you on that, there's two options now. Adjourn now. We go and sort out those two issues that are not fortunate. We then go to dinner, we come back after dinner, we just put it on record and then move on. The other one is we sorted out at dinner, we tell the state law advisor at dinner, then should we then come back?
How do you see the process in the next few days? Do you vote in on the bill? Do we see us having the formal bill tomorrow sometime, or when do you anticipate that and voting to take place tomorrow?
Well, I think we should have the bill. What we will have is basically the people, but not in the printed form, it will be in this form. My proposal would be that we vote on this one, but wait, and then let that bill go for printing. Then let that printed bill come back, that we can give it a second chance to go through. That would be the process. But in order to get to that process, we need to be able to be able to make the instructions that we've completed. Thank you.
Look, if we finish those, there's no reason why we should. Well, and I can't see what we're really going to focus on. What we finally want honourable members is that the bill that we vote on this version of the law is basically your people, but not in front of them. Okay? Then we send it away to have it printed. Then we bring it back, and that process will be the final process that determines your health.
Yeah, we would be better to have to determine whether we are happy on a text which is not the one which goes to the printer. Mm-hmm. I'm just concerned that once we have a DPO, there is a certain degree of rigidity. Mm-hmm. And this has been a complex bill. If we can have just a clean up text and we go clause by clause, we can consult with all the people around us that we all have, we want to consult with us.
See, it doesn't matter whether Parliament puts this thing until the committee votes finally if this is the bill that's going to the House. Whether it's printed thing, whether they printed it twice, we will be in a position to determine that process. So there's no rigidity on the member that's going to. On the members, how are we on this thing? Can we adjourn? And then we come back quickly after dinner. We can be back here at 6:30, 5:15, just to deal with those two issues. In other words, dinner you will see it. Yes, it's not a question of the new section 46 in our discussion on quote unquote Rose's books. Where are we on that? I wanted to reply to that, but I thought that it was not appropriate. I thought it was not appropriate, but I would need all the answers. Thank you.